Revelation 13.
Excuse me, is this an hour Bible study or longer?
No, it's a half hour.
Oh, half hour.
Oh, well, every once in a while, once in a blue moon, I go over. What's that? What was that cackle about?
We got blue moons out about every day.
Shut up.
Probably don't.
11, 12, 13. Well, I don't want to go the whole thing. Let's go into verse. Now we got to start. 13:1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a great beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Now keep that in mind and go over to verse chapter 17 a minute. Oh, we're doing that sun thing again. So I can never. And verse 7, chapter 17, verse 1. And there came one of the 7 angels. Remember, there's 7 everythings. You know, there's angels, the plagues, the. I can't even think right now.
Always indicating the completion of time. Is that the point on the 7?
Yeah, because the whole mystery of the numerical mystery. Is that 7 is a cycle of time, but 8 is out of time. So 8 is there's no merit in 7 because unless we pick up sticks and then we.
There's no what?
Oh, there's a scripture in, talking about punishments in the law, and this they were in. Near Mount Sinai, one of the men was on Sabbath was picking up small sticks for the fire for the next day, and he was stoned for breaking the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is not a day of the week. The Sabbath is Jesus Christ, and He is the only one. He's the only one that ascended and came from heaven, so he's the only one, or his genetics, that can return to heaven.
He's the only one that can what? Return again? Is that what you said?
No, he...
I'm sorry, I just didn't hear the word.
We'll take a real brief... Let's go to John chapter 3, I think. Oh, Pete, you've got to get me a new Bible.
Oh, look, there already is one in your office. You just won't use it.
I would ruin it.
How many years ago did we get the Bible for you? How many decades ago did we get the Bible for
you? No, he never. That Bible was given to me by the publisher when I was on television. So it's not, Pete didn't have anything to do with it.
I didn't have anything to do with it.
Okay, but you have had it for 4 decades.
I got a little thing on the 7 and 8. It's like the in the cycle of time, the end of time was the cross, kind of like a 7, not exactly. And the 8 is a symbol of eternity. And so just in thinking about that.
8 is a symbol of eternity by whom?
By the letter.
Well, I know, but who is it? Where is that ever seen?
I'm the authority in this conversation.
Well, I just asked you a question.
What's that?
I mean, that's so the 8 isn't. eternity in the Bible. I mean,
it's the symbol of it's the bride, and when Abraham walked through the fire and all that, he was in the symbol of the eight. No.
Well, I mean, they walked through the sacrifice. That was Moses.
Right.
Not Moses. Never mind. I don't want to go there. Let's yeah. change the subject.
Side view.
This is when he's having the discussion with a guy in the Sanhedrin, Nicodemus. And, that's a big deal. We got to start. Let's just go do it. Start in verse 1.
John chapter 3.
Yeah. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said, he didn't pay any attention to what he just said. This is what you had to start to see. Verily, verily, I say unto you, or thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I remember when the word again and born again is not like another time. It means born from above. And that's a Greek word that means born from above. So, what?
What I'm just saying is you're born into faith. You're not born into the world where we use our senses to discover and see things. But born again is into a place of a new realm where you believe.
Right. It's but only that. Watch something. Don't get there yet.
All right.
Nicodemus, in verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born again, or born when he is old? Can he enter the womb a second time, or his mother's womb, and be born? And Jesus answered, again, he didn't pay attention to what he said. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except what he did too here, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again, or born from above. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest not the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, and where there it goeth. So is verily everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Now, this is the next part that's so important. And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we do know and testify that which we have seen, and you receive not the witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of you heavenly things? And this is the kicker. I got to hear this quickly, or with precision. Verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now that's universal. You cannot enter heaven unless you came from heaven. Amen?
Yeah, good.
You can't be born in flesh and enter heaven. Then how about all these things? You must be born again. Well, you must be born from above. That's why that silly translation of again instead of above is so critical. And you can't, the human race is in exactly the same, and has been since Pentecost. They've been in the same position as Christ was in the boot. He was Son of Man and Son of God. Now, just a minute. He was Son of Man and Son of God. But in order for him to return to heaven, he had to be buried in baptism as Son of Man. So only Son of God remained. And that's the same with every one of us. You must be buried in baptism and know you're dead before Christ can live and before he can, you, before you can arise into heaven, which is not you, really. Okay, now you were saying?
Oh, just it's the first time I think I heard your contention with being born again when it should be born from above, which more accurately portrays the idea, right?
Well, born again doesn't portray any of the idea because it means you're being born. I mean, it's just total blasphemy. It says you're going to heaven. You're not. Oh, I'm going to go up and see my little children or my doggy up there. No, you're not. All right, now, with that in mind, what we've just read, go to Revelation 13. Does anyone have any comments or questions about what we just studied?
I just have one about the number 8. You said it's out of time. Is it not like correct to hear that it's like the number of new beginnings?
The number of what?
Of new beginnings. That's what I've often heard.
No.
I'm not saying it's right.
It has nothing to do with new beginnings.
Okay.
There's only one new beginning, not 8.
Well, but the new beginning is the bride. It's the, the bride is the new beginning.
Right. But it's not, but you're, but you, it can't. It can have no reference to the fall, and I mean,
yeah, new beginning implies reference to
a cycle of time.
Old cycle of time.
Yeah. And it doesn't refer to self.
Forgot what it was going to say. I hate that one. It's like I'm shrinking.
In that parable, the seven would be the end of time. The new beginning is after baptism when you're dead. You have nothing to do with that new beginning. That's all about Christ, not about you incorporated into him.
But you only, again, it's only if you're buried. You can. Otherwise, you'll be like, that's what a zombie is. It's somebody that's was born again but wasn't buried.
Wow.
That's, I'm serious.
That's terrible. I was laughing because that's funny about a zombie.
Well, that's why these movies scare everybody, because it touches the wick of the ant candle, if you will. All right. First, we don't have time to do the whole thing. So, if we just chapter 13, in the verse 1, he sees the man, this being, coming out of the sea. Okay? He's calling him the instead of Christ. Now, in verse 11, and then it's all the types and faces on it about the faces of eagles and so forth. But we're not going to do that today. But here, and I beheld, verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Now this is a biggie, because the first beast came out of the water, the ocean, the second beast, which is really the same, he's just now advanced. The second beast comes out of the,
comes out of the
dust.
Yeah.
Comes out of you.
Yeah, amen.
Now watch. he gets. He had, and he's like, that's what it means. This is just having to do with religion in terms of the second beast. The second beast, well, let's read it. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. He's a lamb. But what he's saying comes from the voice of the dragon. And again, remember this, the dragon in the sky. So, but he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Now, let's go on. We could spend 3 days on this. Let's jump down. Go down to 16, and we've studied the rest of it before, but I just want to get to this again. In 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now, if you look in the scriptures, that mark has nothing to do with getting a tattoo. It's the mark that's in your forehead because it's the way you think.
Mm.
And it's the right hand, the mark on your hand, is because you're still acting as Adam. You're still toiling. Everybody understand that?
What you think and what you do.
Huh?
What you think and what you do.
Right, and that's where it comes from. It is, that's what it is. It's not debatable. I mean, you can have all these guys, well, I don't want to go there. But. And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, it's not that that the beast is preventing you from doing that. It's the mystery of God in you that's preventing you from being buying and selling. You're no longer in commerce. And that's the whole mystery of you cease from your own labors. But now, watch. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is 600, for it is the number of man, of a man, and his number is 600, 666, 666. But you got to hear this. Look it up. But it's not the number of a man, it's the number of mankind. It's anthropos. This isn't. This is you. This is the world. It's the number of the beast. In his forehead, it's 666 because he can never become seven. He can't find rest. He's always got something happening. Now, again, we're back to what we first looked at. No man can enter into heaven except he that came from heaven. And yet we have all these fairy tales about what. I'm going to go and play with my little doggy when I get to heaven, or my wolf. I mean, we've defined a religion based on our own understanding, and it's called modern Christianity. You could read the book 100 times, but if your eyes aren't open, you won't see. All you'll see is something to fear or something to do, or if you're not buried in baptism and as a dead man using this evil thing no longer, you live by faith alone, for whatever is not of faith is sin. You're kidding yourself. There must be repentance.
Thank you.
And again, every time, you may not believe this, but every time you use your mind, his humility in you is so great, he won't occupy where you are. And so what happens when you start using this evil one, you are putting him in the deepest, darkest dungeon in you as the temple of God. Now, if you can wrap your head around that, then repentance is possible. But this is what the first... How many times did Jesus say you'll be hated of all men? More than I can count. But the only reason you're not, the modern isn't hated, is because you're not. This mystery of the gospel is a threat to every form of thought that has ever existed on the face of the earth, every value system that has ever existed. And so slowly but surely, the church slowly but surely their eyes begin to get sleepy and cold. And, oh, I've got to, and then pretty soon, and they're back. And then they're just before Luther's time. Christ was the first wave of the church. I think Luther was the second wave. It's time for us to have a third wave. Any response? Everybody, this is, or do you already know it? You may know it, but you're not living it. I'm not living it. But by God, every time I see I'm not, I know that the heart of God is grieved and I have to repent instantly. Every time I use my mind for anything, I have to say, forgive me, Father. But you can, oh no, I've got the mind of Christ. Well, you want to get tricked there. The mind of Christ is total emptiness, so that he has a direct line to the Father. And that's what you have to have, as the mind of Christ, so that you have a direct line for the Holy Spirit to reach the Father. Again, this is why this, if any man is a friend of the world, he's an enemy of God. The idea that greater and greater numbers of Christians are get involved in politics. And you really are doing it for a reward. But that's the doctrine of Balaam, to get involved in politics, or to really get involved in the world system at all. We are not of the world, not because of declaration, but because when you're not of the world, again, you have to see this is a form to... This isn't nice, pleasant Christmas song words. This is the hard... This is a different world. It's a different thing. Enough. Any comments?
I just have another question about, do you think everybody, I mean, this is an honest question, that gets into politics does it for a reward?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know, I was one.
Mm-hmm. I'm not in politics, but I have no desire. But I do pray for politicians a lot.
Huh?
I do pray for politicians.
Oh, I do too, every day.
Yeah.
What's your prayer?
Pray for wisdom on the part of the politicians.
There you go.
that they would come to see the end and the mystery of Christ fulfilled in them, so they can get out of politics. But the idea that Trump has this panel of presidential religious advisors, and they're made up of just about everyone that we investigate. I'm serious.
I didn't say anything.
Huh?
Oh, I didn't say anything when you looked at me.
What?
No, my question was, have you investigated Lance Wallnau? Have you heard of that name?
Who?
Lance Wallnau, W-A-L-L-L.
I don't know who that is.
Okay. I believe he's one of the advisors.
I know not. Gary, you're musing.
No, I was thinking about the mind of Christ. Did he have the mind of Christ, Jesus himself, because he was born of God, or because he repented all the time?
Well, the evil one, which is always your mind, is always trying to get him, just as it tried in the temptations that were written about that we know about. That's those things that we know that he was tempted by Satan. And Satan was his mind, the son of man. That's the whole point.
But did
listen,
not he deal with that at the end of his 40 days in the wilderness? And Satan came and tempted
him? No, it's constant.
And
the evil one is the evil one. And he's the one that sits in the temple, showing himself that he's God.
So he never dealt with, he just...
No, that's why it's a vacuum. That's why he made himself of no reputation. It's kino. It means there's emptiness between him and the Father. He does nothing of himself.
Right. That's why Buddhism is a great counterfeit, because he tried to get empty. To hear God, only it's all counterfeit.
But anyway, it's the pit. It's these are hard sayings. I'm not saying this is easy, but I'm saying for your sake, because I know this is not negotiable.
Right, absolutely.
And I've spent years and years and years trying to prove it's wrong. I'm going to do this and then later I'll do it and then I'll be okay.
Mm-mm.
Your obedience is what, remember, Noah's obedience is what condemned the world. You remember that?
Yeah.
The same thing is for us. Mm. Our obedience is what's bringing, that's the whole thing. But you can't have feet in both worlds. It doesn't matter whether you're looking or what you're watching, whatever. It's your mind, it's so tricky. It's so subtle. It's subtle above all the beasts of the field. The snake, and you haven't heard this one, but the snake in the Garden of Eden, the snake has always been in all ancient cultures a symbol for what? For what? For guile. For what is? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm getting kind of.
You need to apologize for this.
Huh? No, I'm. I don't know what you said, but I probably wouldn't like it.
No, you probably wouldn't.
And just the last part of verse 13.
What chapter?
Chapter 3.
What book?
Genesis.
Eight.
Genesis. Okay. Chapter 3.
Okay.
And this is... Well, let's go to just 14. This is this is God talking to the serpent. Now, again, unless you believe that find me a snake that eats dust or that can talk, then the snake is again is always a metaphor for your mind. It has been in all cultures. It's more subtle than any beast of the field. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and again a better translation, is by thy appetites you shall be led. And thou shalt eat dust all the days of your life. That's all you... No, that's all... That's what mankind is eating. That's why we have to eat only the manna. Now, you can... Again... that's what the recognition of saying grace before your meal is about. It's not about, you know... I have a lot of cousins, and they all do the same thing. It's when I was a little kid, it's some same prayer, bless the food, and I don't remember it right now, but it's not about it. It's to see that you can declare that you're eating the manna. That's why even in the pogroms and Poland and other places, the rabbis, they ate mud. And it was manna. I get so... This is so... Such an incredible thing that we cheapen it with our own little ideas about it. By thy belly shalt thou eat bread. By thy belly thou shalt be led, and that's a better translation than the King James. And dust shall you eat all the days of your life. Everything that you can conceive of is made of dust. That's why. Well, it might be good-looking dust. It might be gold. It's still dust from God's standpoint. I get so excited about this.
I was looking at the this part where it shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. Or his head bruised, where the enemy's head is bruised. Being bruised is not killed; it's bruised.
Well, he was killed.
The point I was making.
You just asked me a question.
No, I didn't. I was making a comment.
Oh,
his head was bruised. Maybe I did. His head was bruised, but then we read earlier about. His deadly head wound was healed in Revelation.
Well, that's the Antichrist coming in his person, not his. Remember, you got to hear this. Jesus Christ was the last Adam. Now, who then are we? Who are you? You're of the evil one. That's what your mind is. And that your mind is what defines you. Satan was defeated. But his minions are everywhere. We could study this for the rest of time and not just what the kind of thing we're talking about today. To see it meets every standard of what the revelation of God is and the revelation of Christ. Without any... Every standard I know... this whole stuff we're talking about this morning is what I tried to prove was wrong. But this is what I saw. And this is what I preached from the day that I started preaching. And again, one of my favorite things is when we talk about the Magi, it wasn't three. They brought three gifts. It was a whole tribe. And their book, their holy book, was Zend Avesta, predicted this Messiah. And that's why they studied the stars, because the whole idea of the star map, and it's the same except in weird countries, but there's the Sphinx. There's the Sphinx, sits there right in front of them. And then there's a Great Pyramid. But Virgo, the Virgin, is the first
constellation.
Huh?
First constellation.
Constellation.
Yeah, it's the first constellation of the 12. And it has, every constellation has three decans, or three sub-signs. And the sub-sign for, the first sub-sign for Virgo is a child, baby, sitting on his mother's lap. And that's the star that Novid, millions of years ago, taking that long for the light of that to get to Upper Persia, so the wise men could see it, so the wise men could fulfill their purpose and being, and bring the gifts to Christ. I mean, this is, it's so far beyond our little ways of thinking. It's meaning, I mean, and this is stuff that was, it's so precious. And we cheapen it by mixing it with the world. So that, anyway, the Sphinx's purpose was to be this majestic, whatever you call it, that separates. So you knew where to begin. You start at the Virgo and end at Leo. And the Sphinx is what teaches that, shows that.
Yeah.
Remember, I didn't think this book existed, but about 8 or 10 years ago, John Bloom was found this one, found a copy of it. It's Frances Ralston is the woman that wrote, and she had researched her whole life and a bunch of other people's research before her to reveal this mystery of the stars and the gospel and the stars. And it's not the zodiac. The zodiac reminds me, it became, not to pick on you, but it became a way that you can prophesy, you know, and you can see what you're going to eat for breakfast and other kind of crap. But it cheapens it because it brings it back into Earth. And that's what the evil one does constantly. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be.
Sorry, I've got physical therapy.
No, that's fine. What time will you be back?
About 10.
Okay, could we go about 11?
Sure.
Okay.
No problem.
Thank you. This is, again, I want zeal from us. But you can't have zeal as long as you have opinions. All right, that's enough. Take a big breath.